If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4 verses 16 through 18 will be our text for our devotional challenge this evening. It is also, of course, on the back of your order of service. It's that third paragraph down in what we read just a few moments ago, if you would like to follow along there. This morning in his sermon, Pastor Steve acknowledged a sentiment that most, if not all of us, feel or think at one time or another. And that is, if I could just be a little bit more, or maybe a lot more, like a specific biblical character in some way, then life would be better. Maybe even life would be easier. If I just had the faith of Abraham, or if I just had the courage of David, or if I just had the, you fill in the blank. But he challenged that line of thinking by pointing out that these enviable qualities in these biblical personalities often came in or as the result of very unenviable circumstances. Sometimes over an extended period of time. Tonight, we're going to look very briefly at another biblical personality, the Apostle Paul, one who was no stranger to hardships. Specifically, I want us to think about Paul's perspective on the trials that he faced and the consequences of his perspective for us, some of the consequences, rather. So 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18 again. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things the things that are unseen are eternal. I want to look at this passage by way of three main points. The first one is the contrasts that Paul sets up, the contrasts. And then I want us to look at his affliction, and then his perspective. So first, the contrast that he sets up in these three short verses. And it's critical for us to see the contrast because if we gloss over the contrast that he is setting up for us, we will potentially miss completely what he is trying to teach the Corinthians and by extension trying to teach us. So notice these contrasts. He contrasts in verse 16 the outer self and the inner self. He says the outer self is wasting away while the inner self is being renewed. One is fading, another is being built up. He uses the description of light or not heavy in contrast to weight. He speaks of something that is momentary and something else that is eternal. He writes of affliction in contrast to glory. And he combines these previous three contrasts to speak of the light and momentary affliction versus the eternal weight of glory. He speaks of not looking to one place, but rather looking to another. He writes of the things that are seen or the things that can be seen versus the things that are unseen or those things that with physical eyes cannot be seen. And then he speaks of the transient and the eternal. So over and over, he's putting on one side these things that he describes as light, momentary, afflictions, transient. what can be seen. And then on the other side, he speaks of this eternal weight of glory, that which cannot be seen with physical eyes, that which is not transient, that is not passing away, but that which is eternal. And as he reflects on these two opposite distinct realities, Paul sees two distinct and opposite trends at work in his life on these two sides of this picture. Our physical bodies are gradually deteriorating. We all know this. While at the same time, spiritually, we are being built up into the image of Christ. Physically, we are wasting away. But spiritually, we are gradually growing in Christ's likeness. So what is the affliction that the Apostle Paul writes of? What is this, quote, light, momentary affliction to which he refers? Well, in the immediate context, it's what he described previously in chapter 4. Back up in verse 9, it is being persecuted, being struck down. In verse 10, carrying in the body the death of Jesus. Verse 11, being given over to death for Jesus' sake. This affliction, this light, momentary affliction that Paul experienced, it is the suffering that he faced, particularly at the hands of others, suffering that he faced at the hands of others as a consequence of faithfully preaching Christ and serving others in his name. Persecution for the sake of being a faithful minister of the gospel. That's the light and momentary affliction that Paul has in view here. If you want to read more about this, he writes about it elsewhere, even in this letter. Chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. Chapter 11, the second half of verse 21, extending through verse 29. Before we look at Paul's perspective on this light, momentary affliction, I want to make a few observations and implications for us in light of what this affliction was for Paul. As I've already mentioned, the affliction was a consequence of Paul's faithfulness. But the fitness or the appropriateness of his perspective on his persecution doesn't stop with those who are being persecuted. It has direct application to those who are being persecuted for the sake of faithfulness. But that's not the only application. Some of you who are here tonight are now or have in times past experienced a form of real persecution because of your desire to live faithfully, because of your desire to speak faithfully, and because of your pursuit of not bringing shame on your master. You have faced hardship from a family member or from an employer or from some other avenue. You have faced, probably not to the extent that the Apostle Paul faced it, but you have faced religious persecution in some form or fashion. But for others of us, our hardships are not the direct consequence of our desire to be faithful, but rather, sometimes our hardship is, as Pastor Steve mentioned last week, simply the consequence of living in a fallen world. Some of you face chronic health issues, not because of anything that you have done, but because we live in a world riddled with sin. Some of you have faced or are facing family or work stress, not because of any sinful actions on your part, but particularly because of the sinful attitudes or behaviors of someone around you, and the consequences of their perspective have fallen on you. You didn't do anything wrong, but simply as a result of sin in this world, you have faced difficulty. Paul's perspective is helpful here. Either way, religious persecution or simply the consequence of living in a fallen world, Paul has a word to say. But I also want to point out that the affliction that Paul faced, again, was a consequence of his faithfulness, not the result of unwise speech or behavior. And I want to issue a very careful and quick word of caution. We should all be aware of labeling as suffering or affliction the consequences of our sinful or unwise decisions and behaviors. That's all I'm going to say about that. But it's worth reflecting on. The affliction, another observation, the affliction that Paul faced, although he describes it as light and momentary, in and of itself, it was not light. It was hard. In each context, in chapter 1, here in chapter 4, and over in chapter 11, each time he speaks of this affliction, he uses descriptions that speak of him thinking he was near death or actually being near death itself. We remember the account in Acts where he was stoned and even left for dead. That is not a light thing. Some of you have faced or are facing trials right now that are anything but light. You know, gut-wrenching, emotional pain that has caused you to cry until there are no more tears to be cried. Some of you know physical pain from which you are able to get little, if any, relief. Some of you have faced this kind of hardship for 10, 20, 30 years. Maybe even longer. If I were to tell you that your pain was light, you would immediately tune me out. And rightfully so. Because some of the things that we face in this life, whether it be because of our desire to live faithfully or simply as a consequence of living in a fallen world, some of these things are not light. They are hard. They weigh heavy on our souls. What Paul experienced was not light in and of itself. What Paul experienced was not momentary. It went on for years. The key for us to understand what Paul means when he speaks of his affliction as being light and momentary is in the contrasts that he builds up in these three verses. And with these contrasts in view, he has a perspective on his affliction that he would not otherwise have. If he did not have the insight provided to him by the Holy Spirit, the insight that is given to us in the Scriptures and can be ours as well, he would not view these things the way that he does. But notice his perspective. Paul knew that in comparison to the eternal weight of glory that awaited him once this life was over, in comparison to that thing that awaited him once this life was over, what he faced was light, momentary. Not in and of itself, but when stood up next to what awaited him, the significance of his suffering paled in comparison. In comparison. I can't imagine the pain of the beatings that Paul suffered. However, according to Paul himself, the intensity of that pain was minuscule when compared with the extravagance of the glory that awaited him. The emphasis here is not on the minuscule nature of Paul's hardship or the minuscule nature of hardship in this life, because it's not minuscule. Pain and suffering hurt. They hurt deeply. Instead, the emphasis for Paul and the emphasis for us should be on the intensity and everlasting nature of joy that awaits when this life of pain and suffering is no more. That is, for those who are in Christ. This is where Paul focused his attention. Not on the suffering which was transient, but on the eternal. This is not, for Paul, a matter of turning your frown upside down, right? Instead, for Paul, this is an issue of comprehending the unending and indescribable delight that God has prepared for those who turn away from their sin and turn to Christ in this life. So what's the pain that you are experiencing? What's the intensity level of that pain? Turn that level of intensity into delight. Here's what I mean. When you go to the doctor or the hospital for something that is ailing you, they always ask you, it seems like everybody who comes in that room asks you, on a scale of 1 to 10, what's your pain level? Right? So that they can get a feel for where you're at and for you how tolerable your pain is. So what is one circumstance of pain or suffering that you are going through or have gone through? And what is the level of that on a scale from 1 to 10? Now, turn that level of pain into an equivalent measure of delight. So if your pain is a 5, imagine a delight, a joy of 5. And what Paul is saying here is that the joy, the glory that awaits those who are in Christ blows that level of 5 joy to smithereens. It is as distinct as zero is to infinity. This is the joy that awaits those who are in Christ. And do you see here the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because what Paul is saying here is that your Savior, your King, if you are in Christ, my Savior and my King, is so unimaginably glorious that whatever pain we face in this life, His work on the cross on your behalf and on mine, and His resurrection from the dead is more than powerful to vanquish that pain and suffering and to provide for you who are His follower an eternal weight of glory beyond comprehension. The hope of eternal glory, an eternity of joy in the presence of the Lord, an eternity separated from the presence of sin, an eternity of no longer wasting away, an eternity free from the spiritual, emotional, and physical pains of this life, an eternity where sorrow will be but a fading memory, an eternity where even death itself will be no more. The hope of sharing in this eternal glory is not a hope that God intends to bring us comfort only on our deathbed, or in the twilight years of our lives, or in those moments when someone we love passes from this life to the next. Surely God intends for the hope of glory to bring us comfort in those times, but not in those times exclusively. The anticipation of being brought into conformity with Christ and reigning with Him forever is not merely an end of this life doctrine, rather, it's an all of the Christian life truth that we should set our eyes upon as we walk by faith and not by sight, as we look forward not to the transient, but to the eternal. Let us then, like the Apostle Paul, Look not to the transient things that can be seen and things that can be felt, but rather let us set our eyes on the eternal things that are unseen, that is, the eyes of faith, on things that are unseen and will someday be more real than we can possibly imagine.